Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, this has been one hell of a week. It's the only way to describe it. We have a terrible situation going on in this country in Ferguson, Missouri. I'm going to spend the whole show talking about Ferguson, Missouri. I hope I don't bore you with things you already know because it's all over the media and the newspapers, on television, on the internet. I hope that I can bring to your attention some little facts, details that have been unknown to you. I also want to perhaps change the way people are thinking on this. This is a terrible situation. If you wish to call in and talk with me on the issue of Ferguson, the number is 646-478-5731. It's on the screen in front of you. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I am not going to take the time to go over the history of Ferguson. We all know 10 days ago an 18-year-old African-American was shot by a police officer. There are conflicting stories how it occurred. The police officer said the kid was attacking him in the car. Witnesses say the boy, or he's not a boy, he's a man, he's 18, was several feet away. In any event, it's unquestionable the police officer shot him six times, twice in the head, at a time, it is said by the witnesses, that this 18-year-old had his arms up. Okay, so that's the story. I want to talk about what should be done today to resolve the situation. This is day 10, not day 1, not day 3, not 5, not 7, because every day circumstances change, new events develop, and with it, the solution perhaps changes. Here is my solution. My solution is simple. How to end this now? Twofold. Number one, enforce the law. This may sound strange. There seem to be two groups of people out there. There are the looters and the protesters. The looters are a small group. Many news reports say they aren't even from the area, or perhaps a small handful are. In any event, they're running separate, these two groups, and the police must enforce the law and stop the looters. It's with the looters that the problems are occurring in the evening. It's with the looters that the shooting's taking place, Molotov cocktails and everything else. So what do? You arrest them. Forget it's a black-white situation. No one wants to offend anyone. Whatever color, the law must be enforced. So you send the police out. You don't bring in the tanks. You don't bring all that military equipment that started this whole thing. You send policemen out dressed in blue with batons and guns if necessary and corral this small group of looters and throw them in jail immediately. Use all and necessary force to do it. Do it properly. You don't shoot them all. You hit them in the head with the baton if you have to, but capture these people. Stop the looting. Which brings me to the second thing that I think has to be done and should have been done several days ago. Present this case to the grand jury. See if there is an indictment of the police officer. I'm not saying he should be indicted. He shouldn't be indicted. But the local authorities, the local prosecutor, they have waited too long. This is a public shooting with eyewitnesses all over the place. Reports today by the FBI say they have interviewed in excess of 200 people regarding this shooting. Now, they must have enough people to present to a grand jury to see who's right and who's wrong. The other thing that burns my butt is we've had three separate now autopsies. The third was completed today by the local authorities. The families had their own. The FBI's had their own. What do you got three autopsies for? It's ridiculous. Anything that's going to happen, it's going to help whoever's indicted if there is an indictment because there'll be inconsistencies which will be developed during the trial to the benefit of whoever's charged with this crime. They should have arrested day one or day two, whoever did this. If there is a crime, they should have presented what they had to the grand jury, because I'm going to tell you something right now. If this was reversed and an Afro-American had shot the police officer, he would have been indicted within 48 hours. There ain't no justice here. It isn't working properly. 10 days is much too long. I don't blame the people for being infuriated. I don't blame them if the shooting is, as it seems, improper. But I further don't blame them because justice is not working as it should. Now, let me talk about the looting for a moment longer. We have stealing on such a major level in this country. I am talking about the banks. I'm talking about Wall Street. I'm talking about what's happened 2006, 2007, 2008. I'm talking about the banks who caused the recession in this country, who contributed in a major way to us now being 1% wealthy and 99% poor in this country. No more middle class. I'm talking about bank presidents who should be in jail that are getting $20 and $30 million a year salaries with bonuses and equal amounts on top of it. And yet we've got in this city of Ferguson all these people. They're primarily black, most without jobs. And it's only a town of 21,000 people. I'm going to tell you something. When you've got nothing and you see another guy who, you know, he may not smoke crack, or maybe he does. He may not rob a pack of cigarettes from a convenience store, or maybe he has. But he's stealing big time by the millions, as we know, with these Wall Street bankers and never getting indicted. No one's ever gone to jail for those crimes. You've got to say to yourself, and I'm talking about the looting now, if the big guys can get away with it, if Wall Street can get away with it, why can't we, the little people, why can't we go steal a television set, a washer, a dryer, a cell phone from a store? Why can't we steal some groceries? Not similar in value to what the Wall Street guys did, but if they can get, you know, away with big-time crime, why can't we get away with little crime? And I think this is contributing big-time to the looting which is going on. I want to talk now about what started this all, and it's the military occupation of Ferguson. The military occupation of Ferguson. You know what I'm talking about. Those tanks, those armored vehicles, those soldiers with those uniforms and helmets, that fella sitting on top of an armored vehicle dressed in all kinds of military regalia aiming a machine gun at the protesters. This is what I'm talking about. We don't need this kind of thing in this country. And I've got to tell you, I've got to share some thoughts with you on what I think about this military occupation. And in conjunction with that, I've mentioned this gentleman several times before on this show, on my TV show, and in writing. His name's Michael Snyder. He's a terrific investigative reporter. He wrote on August 13th. Okay, he wrote a wonderful article, which he entitled The Military Occupation of Ferguson, Missouri. He said that this military occupation, what happened at the time of the shooting and immediately following it, is just a preview of what is coming to America. He claims it's the end of the American dream. As the economy has fallen apart, people have become angry and frustrated. And he believes there will be more incidents of civil unrest. Anything will trigger it. Because if people are sitting on the door stoops and they ain't got no place to go to work and they ain't got no money in their pocket, trouble's going to come. I mean, it's just automatic. Now, what's going to happen when this happens? When we have another Ferguson? We've had one Ferguson. We're going to have more. We had Bundy's. Different situation. The government let Bundy and his people in Nevada get away with it. But what's going to happen when we have more of these riots like we've had in Ferguson? I guarantee we're going to have them between now and the end of the year. The federal government and local governments will have no choice. They will have to crush this disruption, these protests. And the only way they're going to do it, because you get several hundred people in the street, And if they think they're being defecated upon and improper force is being used against them like a militarized force, they are going to retaliate, as they did here, with sticks and stones and Molotov cocktails, okay? What do you expect? You put a tank in front of me and a machine gun? I'm going to let you run all over me? No way! And this, now our government, all governments are going to be forced to react with overwhelming force. You know, each action has an equal and opposite reaction. And so it's going to go back and forth like this with neither side having a choice after a while. Let me share some information with you. And this comes through Snyder's article, which was excellent on this issue. $4.3 billion in equipment, okay? $4.3 billion in equipment has been given by the government since 2006 to municipalities, to cities, towns, and villages to help their police departments, to militarize their police departments. $4.3 billion worth of equipment. They use it for what? They have SWAT teams. We have SWAT teams up the Guya, nah, that's the wrong word. We have a lot of SWAT teams that we didn't have before. Let me put it this way. Those are those guys, they used to, you know, sit on rooftops with guns, with rifles, and they were great shots. Now we got tons of these guys, and they wear all this military equipment. In 1980, in the whole country of the United States, there were only 3,000 SWAT attacks, SWAT raids, only 3,000. Now, you know how many we have here? We have 800,000 SWAT team raids per year, 800,000. That means, here's how it breaks down, more than 100 American family homes are raided every day by a SWAT team. More than 100 American homes are raided. They don't go into bank buildings and everything else. It's American homes. 93% of these raids are not to get someone who's shooting, who has a gun, not where someone has a hostage, not where there's a barricade. They're going for simple things with these. They've gone crazy with the guns and the uniforms and everything that was given them by the military. They go in to serve a summons for a domestic relations dispute to go to family court. They go in for garbage situations. They go in with mighty force. And in the end, they've got to invite, on some occasions, retaliation. Another statistic that comes from Snyder's article, it's extremely interesting. 80% of those 800,000 SWAT raids are in communities with populations of 25,000 to 50,000 people. You heard me, 25,000 to 50,000 people. These are not where crimes of any magnitude generally occur, but now they are occurring. Look at Ferguson and what is happening there. Let me share with you something else that Snyder has shared with us, and that is in the last 5 years, the state of Missouri, Ferguson is in the state of Missouri. Missouri has received from Homeland Security alone $160 million worth of military, I'm sorry, I misspoke, $69 million worth of military equipment, $69 million, some of which is in, obviously, Ferguson. Okay, now, what are the police doing in Ferguson and in other communities like this? They're playing soldiers. I mean, you dress them up like soldiers. You give them the equipment that soldiers would normally have. And what are they going to become? Whether they want to or not, mentally, they become soldiers. Their training now is to be act in a military fashion because they have military equipment. What can the people do in retaliation here or anything? Really, the people can do nothing because I'll tell you why. Right now, we can't do anything. I'm talking about people in general in this country, not just in Ferguson, because the corporations and the mega wealthy, the independent wealthy in this country, control everything. The people don't control anything in this country. The 1% controls our country today. Absolutely wrong. Here, examples. Eisenhower warned in his speech when he retired, that beware of the military-industrial complex, okay? Well, it's taken over today in this country. We know it. They loved Afghanistan. They loved Iraq. They loved the militarization of the police. Who's making all this money? They are, these major corporations that produce war items, okay? What kind of influence does the average voter, the little guy, have against somebody who's got all this money, can pay lobbyists and all this kind of thing, big-time dough? And what's happened is our government, okay, has bypassed the American people. The majority of the American people have been bypassed by our government because our congressmen are influenced by those that come who have money. They're influenced by the mega corporations, by the mega wealthy who have lobbyists and who influence them. They don't care about you and me. They don't care about the people anymore. They do the bidding of the big corporations like the military-industrial complex. Let's talk about the journalists involved here. You know, I'm talking Ferguson again, just Ferguson. The journalists are there to cover the war. We see them in Afghanistan. We see them in Iraq. I want to tell you something. What I've seen on the Internet, what I've seen on television, looks no different than Afghanistan and Iraq, especially when I see the reporters out there. Now, tell me why the police in Ferguson have arrested or detained, they call it detention, some of our reporters. Initially, four reporters and a photographer. They were arrested, and then they were, after they were kept a while, they're placed in handcuffs. They're told they're not arrested, but the reason they were stopped because they failed to disperse when they were told to go. They don't have to go anyplace. They have a right to cover this, whatever's going on. And the right is religious. It's golden because they are the only source to give us a true report of what has occurred. Otherwise, how would we know, okay? Also, if the police don't want this stuff covered with cameras, with cell phones, with tapings, what are they hiding? What are they afraid that the American public's going to see? What do they feel they might do wrong or are doing wrong that shouldn't be seen by the American people? Just yesterday again, three more reporters were handcuffed and detained, okay? This is funny. It isn't funny, but it is funny. One of the police officers threatened, kept his cell phone going or something, his recording device, and he actually recorded the police officer saying, if you don't do what I'm telling you, I'm going to shoot you. And that's been all over the Internet today. Can you imagine? I'm going to shoot you, he tells the reporter, if you don't do what I'm telling you. The reporter isn't carrying a gun. He's carrying a cell phone, maybe a camera and a notepad. I'm going to shoot you if you don't do what I'm telling you. And you don't have to believe me. Go on the Internet. I'll tell you, the Internet today is terrific. You cannot hide the truth. What's coming out on the Internet on this Ferguson thing, we're seeing the whole show up front. We are in the first row. And we're seeing who's doing right and who's doing wrong. And it's easy to draw a proper conclusion. Let me talk about the politicians now involved with Ferguson. I have never seen, and I'm 79 years old, I've been through a lot, I have never seen a group of more inept politicians, political leaders. These guys are terrible, and I'm including the governor. We see him on television, we see him on the Internet. He can't handle the questions, he never answers a question properly, and he looks himself like he's afraid, and he's the leader. I'm not impressed by this Captain Johnson, the Afro-American state trooper that was put in charge of certain parts of this thing several days ago. And I'll tell you why. He's trying to conciliate. He's trying to talk to his people. They're his people. They're Afro-Americans. He's trying to calm everybody. You can't calm a mob. One man isn't going to calm a mob. You got to put them under control, put the looters in jail, and indict, if Just present it to the grand jury, the shooting, and let the chips fall where they may. But they keep avoiding it. The police, the prosecutor doesn't present anything to the grand jury. The mayor shows that video of perhaps the kid who was killed stealing something at an earlier time, a cigar or something, or a pack of cigars from a convenience store. These are inept people. They're nuts. I don't know how they got to be governors and heads of their communities and chief of police. It's mind-boggling, and that's why all this stuff's happening, because these people are not equipped to lead. Now I'm going to tell you a story that you're going to find very humorous. It's the only way I can put it. We're dealing with such a sad situation, but this is humorous. There is a bill pending before the Congress of the United States. It is called the Grayson-Amish Bill. Okay? On June 19th, it came up before the House of Representatives for a vote. An amendment was proposed to the bill, and the amendment was to limit, hear what I'm saying, to limit the militarization of police. The amendment was to limit the militarization of police. Well, it went down the tubes. I mean, it got buried. It got beat big time. It was a bipartisan vote, in fact, which I'm going to address. But do you know who voted against it, against the amendment, who said, no, it's all right to militarize the police even further? The congressman for Ferguson, Missouri. You heard me. William Lacey Clay, Democrat. He is the congressman for Ferguson, and he didn't vote for the amendment to limit militarization of police. He was all for it. And I got to tell you something. Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats, and I'm a liberal at heart, they were all for it, against limiting the militarization. And so it failed by a large margin. I think 355 were against the amendment. 355. Why? And I'm going to tell you why. And if this is on the Internet, you got to read these things. Because of two reasons. One, the defense industry, the militarization, the industrial complex was against it. And their lobbyists beat the hell out of this amendment before it came up for a vote. They influenced our congressman, would you believe it? And there was a second lobby involved, the police lobby. They wanted to continue with this militarization thing. I think they're crazy. These cops want to be soldiers. They want to be soldiers? Enlist. Go fight in Iran, Afghanistan, and every place else we're fighting in this world. Which brings me now to the governor again. Isn't this wonderful? And this is all fact. It's amazing. You couldn't make this stuff up. The governor has an office. You know, Jay Nixon, governor of Missouri, has an office in a building in St. Louis. Apparently, the governor's offices aren't in St. Louis. I don't know, but he has an office in an office building in St. Louis. There are pictures all over the Internet. Protesters, and this isn't where the protesting's going on, where the shooting went on. This is in another area. The protesters went to this building in St. Louis, and they stormed the door of the building. And there are pictures on the Internet. It doesn't appear that they succeeded in getting in, but there are guards holding the glass doors and everything, preventing and blocking them from getting in. And you know what the people were saying that were protesting? They were saying the National Guard has got to go. The protesters were upset that the National Guard had come in. Okay, now let's talk about the Attorney General, Eric Holder. And I've got to talk about my president at the same time, President Obama. And this is what I want to say. I don't expect my president to go to Ferguson. No one should. And he shouldn't even send the Attorney General to Ferguson. It's nothing but a show thing. You know, it's to keep everybody happy. Look, I sent my Attorney General. They don't need him there. I told you earlier in the show, there are over 200 FBI people in Ferguson investigating these. Not over 200. They interviewed 200 people. There's something like 50 or 60 FBI men that have been there since day one. Why do we need to send the Attorney General himself in? We're just doing a show. It's showtime, folks. That isn't going to solve the problem. Who cares that the Attorney General came, okay? Who cares that he, too, is an Afro-American? It's showboat time. They should have taken. The federal government could do their own indicting here, all right? They could have done this 5 days ago, 6 days ago. Got a federal indictment against the police officer if the police officer broke any constitutional or federal laws here. Nobody goes before a grand jury and seeks an indictment. I don't understand, because if this was reversed and the black kid shot the cop, that black kid, they wouldn't have hung him by now, but he would have been on his way, well on his way to it. Okay, which now brings me to SWAT teams. What I'm going to tell you is sad, okay? SWAT teams. I mentioned that we have an increase now. We have 800,000 SWAT team raids per year now in the United States. A situation occurred in Habersham County, Georgia, back in May. The SWAT team had a no-knock warrant, which meant they could go in, and they didn't have to knock on the door and say, the cops are here. And they went in, and they battered the front door down of this home. And I'll tell you how they got there and what happened while they were there. They had an informant, a police informant, who said that day, in the middle of the day, he bought a $50 bag, $50 is involved, of a drug, methamphetamine. He bought a $50 bag from a woman whose first name was Juanis, who was in the house. I'm not even sure if she lived there or didn't live there. And based on that, they get a search warrant, the police, and send the SWAT team because $50 drug purchase was made. Well, here's what happened. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They go in the house. They batter the door down. And the first thing one of the police officers does is throw a flash grenade in. Well, there was a family visiting whose house had burned down in another community, a mother, father, and 4 children. One of the children was 19 months old and was sleeping in the crib. The child's name is Boo Boo. That's what they call it, B-O-U-B-O-U, Boo Boo, asleep in the crib. The SWAT officer opened the door, threw in the flash grenade, and it landed in the baby's crib. The baby suffered severe burns and an open gash on the cheek. The baby couldn't breathe, lost the ability to breathe, had to be put in a medically induced coma for days, 2 separate big-time hospitalizations. And now the parents say, County of Habersham, it was your sheriff's department, whoever, who did this. Pay the medical bills. They don't even want money. Pay the medical bills. And the county says, no, it's not our responsibility. And one of the reasons is the county said, we didn't know there were children in there. Well, as it turns out, there were 4 children there the day the informant went in, apparently, to make his $50 purchase. There were toys all over the place that these 4 children had, and there were baby shoes all over. Now, isn't this sad? 800,000 raids a year like this, did they have to batter the door down? Over a $50 drug purchase? And this baby's probably going to be maimed for life. Well, that's the show for this week. I've got more to talk about, but I haven't got more time. So I have to stop the show now with regard to Ferguson. Ferguson's a bad thing. We've handled it badly from the federal level, the state level, the county level, and the city level. It's more shame on the United States. We shouldn't have our Afghanistans and Iraq on the streets of a little city in the United States. That's the story. I thank you for joining me. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Remember, it's archived all over the place, YouTube, Key West Lou, and on Black Talk Radio. And remember, I wrote a book, The World Upside Down, recently. You can find it on Amazon.com and BlackTalkRadio.com. Don't buy it unless you enjoy what I say in this show, because you will not enjoy it if you don't enjoy what I say and how I say it. Thank you for joining me. Talk with you next week.